To the House Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources for Tuesday, March 11th, 2003. Before I get started, we are not going to hear two bills today. I'm sorry if you've traveled some distance to get here, but as I can tell you as a farmer, you have to be able to roll with the punches, and politics you have to also. So, 2188 and 2372, we are not going to hear today. We are ongoing working of both of those pieces of legislation, so that only leaves us one bill to hear today, and that is 2344. And before we get started with that, as David gets the sign-up sheet, as I always do at the beginning of my meetings, I want to make you all aware of if you sign this sign-up sheet, please read the small box below where it says, please print legibly. If you are a public official and a lobbyist, you are, by signing this registration sheet, you are acknowledging that you read and understand the two laws that govern your testimony as being truthful and accurate. If you are not a government official or a lobbyist, this does not apply to you. However, we still want your testimony to be truthful and accurate. So, having said that, we thank you all for coming. We are going to hear and open up a public hearing on House Bill 2344. And Ray, would you like to share with us what this bill does?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we heard this bill back on the 6th of February. It directs the Oregon Department of Administrative Services to adopt statewide policies that direct state agencies to immediately begin efforts to harvest burned timber. And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, those things we discussed in prior meetings were privately owned and state-owned forest land, the Oregon Forest Practices Act, reburn risk with fuels lying on the ground, wildlife habitat as it relates to this issue, state and federal rule conflicts, salvage logging, forest health, profit loss due to timber deterioration, the timber economy, and disease infestations and fungus that attack that downed timber, Mr. Chair.
Okay, very good. Ray, have there been any amendments submitted to 2344?
Mr. Chair, I have no amendments on House Bill 2344.
All right, fair enough. Well, the Chair would like to call Bill Clute. Bill, you want to come forward? Welcome, Bill, and for the record, state your name.
Thank you, Chairman. For the record, my name is Bill Cluding, Western Council of Industrial Workers. I represent over 4,000 mill timber workers in this state. This summer in Bend, I attended the forestry seminar put on by our state foresters and the Oregon State University Forestry Department, and they put on a very good seminar. And after listening to the catastrophic effects of the forest fires in the state and the poor overall health of our forest in Oregon, when it came my turn, I asked, how soon should a fire treatment plan take place? And they said that as soon as the ground doesn't burn your boots. Well, that pretty well emphasizes what needs to be done. You need very specialized work crews to get into these fire-damaged forests using the Oregon State Forestry laws. With specialized equipment, you can remove and salvage a large majority of the timber that has been destroyed by fire, whether by nature or by man. By doing this, you can keep of logs, even though they're hard to work with, but you can keep a mill running, you can keep mill crews working. This generates tax dollars for federal, state, county budgets, and we all know this state needs some tax dollars for our budget. Also, it gets a jump start on the health, returning the land for wildlife, fish, watersheds. You can go up to Mount St. Helens, and that's a good place to go look. Lands that were destroyed by the volcano explosion, landowners went in and started the restoration work, and that forest now is the trees are 20, 30 feet tall. Wildlife abounds. But you step over that line where no restoration work was allowed, and you might as well be walking on the moon. It looks just like a moonscape. In our lifetime, that land will never heal. I urge this committee to adopt House Bill 2344. And I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate you coming up today. Representative Nelson.
Yes, thank you. Is it Clooney?
Clooney, yes.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm concerned about this bill, and I think it's very important that we, you know, get on with life and protect our environment by doing the prudent thing so we don't have, we don't burn the entire state this year. But I cannot imagine having been a supplier to the Department of Forestry for the past, since 74, why on earth we would have DAS coming up with a strategic policy to do this exercise. I don't think a Department of Administrative Services knows diddly about good forest practices not being critical. I don't mean it as far as they're not efficient in other ways, but I just don't think that's their forte, and I'm wondering why we're doing that, and shouldn't we correct that immediately? And there is no timeline either to the time they have to have that done.
I'm sure there's people in here that can answer that question better than I can. And if not, I will get an answer back to you, Representative Nelson, Chairman Crawl.
Well, I think, Representative, as I am one of the authors of this piece of legislation,
I don't.
That in answer to your question, the Department of Administrative Services will only adopt the framework policy that will direct the agency, whether it would be perhaps ODF&W, which we discussed prior in the Bridge Creek fire that I visited along with Representative Jensen, who's the other sponsor of this bill. We would direct them or Department of Forestry, whatever the, or parks, any state agency that owns state-owned forest land, that we would put in place this policy that would say you will begin as soon as possible the process of trying to recover the timber, whatever timber is recoverable. And that's the basic concept of the bill. So we're not necessarily saying that Department of Administrative Services would direct Department of Forestry or ODF&W as to the science issues, as to the compliance issues, but rather that they would say that you need to begin the process of evaluating timber recovery efforts as soon as practical. And the reason we didn't put timelines in is because early on in our discussions with Department of Administrative Services and various state agencies, and I think we had testimony from the Department of Forestry that, as you know from having worked forest fires, that a lot of their people that would be involved, let's say we're talking Department of Forestry, people that would be involved in starting the process of beginning timber recovery under this bill may be out fighting fires. And so we didn't want to constrain them with a policy that said just within a few days you have to get in there and start doing that, because then it would create a problem for them because they just wouldn't have enough people to go around. So we felt it would be better if we gave them some flexibility there. Does that answer your question, Representative? I mean, you're looking at me curiously. So
I am. Mr. Chair, thank you for being so polite in the way you responded to me. In my best support of the sponsors of this bill, I just feel that somehow, I don't know how the drafting process went, but we've got it in the hands of the wrong people. We might as well have given it to ODOT, heaven forbid, because it'll probably take that long by the time we ever get a plan together, because we're mired in bureaucratic timetables. And the truth is that this is something that could be done immediately, right now, today, this week, before the fire season starts, and prevent a lot of future damage that is going to occur. So my suggestion is that we either declare this an emergency, go out, contract the service, and get going today, get this salvage out of there so that we save. I mean, even if we made a mistake in who we chose, it'd probably pay off, because we're going to lose that much less timber, because we won't have the fuel that, you know, escalates the fires. And this has happened before. And having to been a brush remover, I also understand that importance. But anyway, I just seems like to me, and I don't want to cause a problem or delay this bill, but two things critically are missing, and one, three really. One is the sense of urgency, and it is a put to work today job. We have contractors in this state that fought the fires, and they certainly are competent once we get the Division of Forestry to identify, you know, what stands should be removed. And secondly, we need a oversight department that isn't DAS. They're not the right ones. And we should move now to prevent additional damage that this salvage is going to cause.
Well, Representative, I would say that, yeah, there is a sense of urgency, clearly, and that's why we want to move forward with this policy now, so that the department, whoever would write rules to implement the bill, would have that accomplished before. And the fire season will be here much sooner than what we anticipate, I'm afraid. And
2 months, probably.
It could very well be, unfortunately. If it wouldn't be DAS, would you be comfortable if we came up with another agency to provide oversight?
I certainly would.
Okay. And the last thing would be is that this isn't going to do, there's nothing in this bill that brings us to the place of doing anything before the fire harvest or the fire season. I think you were alluding to what is an important issue, clearly, and we've got to address in this state. And our state Department of Forestry does a very good job with, and that is keeping the forest healthy so that you have less fire load on the floor. The fires aren't as devastating. We don't bake the soil like Bill talked about. And this bill really doesn't address that, although that is one of the areas that we're clearly going to look at in other legislation, I think. In fact, we have another piece of legislation to deal with that. But in this case, this bill really only comes into effect after a fire, and which is we're obviously trying to avoid. But at any rate, let me see if I can't talk with Representative Jensen and try to address that concern. If it would that give you a little more comfort with the...
A lot more comfort, and I think it's going to give a lot of people and the citizens a lot more comfort.
Okay.
The way I understand it. So.
Okay. Well, thank you.
From where I'm coming from.
Any additional questions of Bill? Hearing none? Thanks. Appreciate you coming today and sharing your thoughts. And David Pelche. David? Welcome. Thanks for coming today. And for the record, of course, you'll have to state your name.
David Joseph Peltier.
Peltier. My apologies.
Oh, that's all right. No problem. Peltier in France.
Okay.
I live in Port Orford. I used to be a firefighter, Montana. I used to work next to hotshot crews. I can tell you how scary a canopy fire is. I used to be a first responder. I'm a house builder now. I make my living off of wood, but I'm also a tree hugger. I'm an environmentalist, but I own a chainsaw, so there's some incongruency in my own personal life.
Okay, please continue.
Because of global warming, we all are facing greater threats from catastrophic fires. The Biscuit Fire kicked our butts. The smoke was terrific. We had We have a lot of damage in the forest system, and my concern is that we harvest wood because our state needs revenues, but that we're careful in the harvesting process. When we speak of fuels in the woods, they do exacerbate a fire, of course. You can see in clear-cut areas, they burn quite a great deal because you have slash on the ground and you don't have a high tree canopy which cools the ground off. The gentleman before me who testified remarked about Mount St. Helens, and it's true. There's been great successes there, and it's come back to life. And the Biscuit area, the Calmeopsis, will come back to life also. over time. I urge you to consider more restoration activities as well as harvesting activities. And I also respectfully request that you consider the idea of a statewide monitoring program on state-owned properties, forest properties, in which we can gather more scientific data that can help us in the long run make better decisions for our state. We all love the forest. We all love wood. And I hope that we can end the timber wars in our state and elsewhere in the United States. We have facilities like the Pacific Northwest Research Facility at Oregon State University in Corvallis. A childhood friend of mine works there. These scientists have a lot of input, and we should turn to the scientific community for as much input as possible. Our forests differ in our state here, so we need more research of different types of ways that we can enhance forest health. The coastal forests down in Port Orford are much different than the Cascadian forests here, of course, just east of here. So there's going to be different mechanisms for enhancing the forest health in different areas. I would like to see more emphasis on long-term research and continued federal funding for these researchers who can provide us data after the post-Biscuit fire. I'm not opposed personally to the harvesting of wood from the Biscuit Fire area. I just hope that we can do it in a careful manner. You look at logging roads and their tremendous impact on negative impact on fisheries. We don't have money in our society to maintain a lot of these logging roads. Roadless areas have been particularly impacted by the fire. We know the fire did not systemically burn everything down, that there are some areas where we have quite a lot of wood resources. And I, for one, being a working person, would like to see people in our state, our mills keep functioning and workers process this wood. But in balance, I ask. And I would like you to consider also the, on federal level, H.R. 1494, the National Forest Protection and Restoration Act. In California, as one example of Redwood National Park, people who have tremendous forestry skills were hired to take out roads out of the Redwood National Park. And we have all these tremendous human resources, people skilled in working in the woods. I implore you to find ways to find ways that we can hire more people in the rural sector. We have, our economies are shattered, as you well know. Curry County, there's no jobs. People work three part-time jobs and struggle. We need money for our state. We need money for working people. But in balance, I ask you to look at restoration activities. Years ago, we had the WPA, Works Progress Administration, CCC, which put people to work. Can we not have another similar program, or Strengthening of AmeriCorps, or VISTA, or other similar programs that put young people to work and gaining skills and honoring those people who work in the woods? I do hug trees. I love trees. I build houses. That's how I make a living. So I try to walk in balance myself. I'm not an expert. I don't have all the answers. But let's set up a research facility. Let's use the state resources to research a post-fire and the impacts on our forests and what we can do to regrow those forests without unduly damaging the nutrient cycles. You know, when you remove wood from a forest, you're taking away those nutrients that the forest is going to need later, that the soils are going to need to grow more trees. Let's keep trees a renewable resource. And I'd like to invite you to... I'm sorry, I'm ill-prepared in terms of having photocopies of the information I have. But I have testimony from firefighters, which I'll share at a later date with you, or I'll try to send information to you. My email address is djcpeltier@yahoo.com. I worked for the U.S. Geological Survey years ago as a water resources division. I worked on water pollution assessment. I worked for the U.S. Forest Service. But I love trees, and I'd like to see the Biscuit area regenerated so that we can use the resources, that we can also protect very fragile areas that need our protection. So I encourage you to find ways, you're the leaders of our state, to find ways that we can walk in balance with nature, that we can create jobs for our people, that we can harvest sustainably. I think that we can figure this out. It's difficult, it's complex. In my personal research of the Port Orford cedar rot problem, the Phytophthora lateralis problem that we're facing, the loss of our trees, I became more involved in these efforts for advocating sustainable forestry. Let's put our people to work in manual release in the forest, for example, rather than spraying herbicides. I know it's not cost effective for the timber industry. I was just speaking to a gentleman at lunch today with Plum Creek Company. Let's put our people to work out in the forest. Our rural communities are desperate for jobs. Certainly our mills need wood. But I ask for more research emphasis. Let's find out what works, what doesn't work. Let's find out how we can do salvage logging in a very careful manner that honors the forests and also provides us necessary revenue.
Thank you, David. Do you have questions of our witness? Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming in and sharing your thoughts here today.
Thank you.
Members, by the way, is there anyone else who wanted to share some thoughts with us on this particular piece of legislation currently? All right, hearing none. Members, no questions, comments? Most likely, I intend to move this concept forward, perhaps with a slight amendment. I want to try to create as much comfort as possible, obviously, within the committee members and address concerns and certainly any that the audience may have for us. So most likely, Thursday's meeting will be filled with probably a few work sessions, I would imagine. So stay tuned for that, and we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2344, and we are adjourned for today.